This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another animated episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the weeaboo himself, Rich Early. How are you doing tonight, Rich?
I'm very good, Josh. I don't even know what that word means.
Well, hopefully the people listening to our podcast will know what it means. And if not, then they should definitely visit a certain convention that's coming up very soon that we are going to be talking about tonight.
That's true. We're going to be live for several hours tonight doing some podcasts mostly focused on gaming and pop culture events and things like that. So if you're following us live on Twitch, great. We post episodes every Monday morning afterwards, just taking the content from these things. And so tell your friends, ask questions. We're watching the live feed. And, yeah, we are here tonight to discuss the upcoming Anime Fargo.
That's right. And we have
and
a special...
We're not alone.
We are not alone. We have a special guest with us. And I... being a bad host that I am, I did not clarify how to say the last name before I started talking, so I'm going to butcher it probably. That's Chris right. Rosler?
Raisler.
Raisler. Ah! So close. I was so close, and yet. So, welcome.
Wait, are you related to Randall?
I don't think so.
Okay. There's just a lot of Raislers. So. Are you related to the runner? There's a famous like high school and now college, you know, runner lady gal named Raisler. All right, I'm done. You guys talk.
Can you folks at home think of any other Raislers we can ask if he's related to? That's the whole podcast tonight. We want to fill 45 minutes of asking if we can figure out who your relatives are.
That works. Might not be a lot of anime Fargo chat that way.
No.
I'm just going to look at the internet. For Raislers. <Yeah. laughs>
So, yeah, Chris, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Glad you had me.
First time.
That's right. It's your first time on the podcast.
It is, yes.
How does it feel so far? Is it everything you hoped it would be?
Oh, totally.
Everything you expected it would be?
With you, yes.
Yeah. he's not lying. So yeah, Chris is one of the what's the appropriate term? Is it head? One of the heads of Anime Fargo? Or do you have a specific...
We usually say co-head or co-chair.
Co-head, co-chair.
Yeah.
It's one of the heads, one of the chairs of Anime Fargo.
Yes.
You've been with Anime Fargo for a number of years. I mean, Anime Fargo is entering its fifth year.
Yep.
And have you been with since the beginning? Did you pop in at some point and take over and not take over?
Yeah, just... way back when.
I joined staff about halfway through as they were planning for year two.
Okay.
And just took an interest. They actually did what I thought was a really good job the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of went back and forth as to whether or not I wanted to join staff because I knew it'd be a time commitment.
Right.
But finally took the dive, and the staff was very welcoming, mm-hmm. very helpful, and kind of worked my way up through there to lead the panels department one year, and then got voted in as a co-chair.
Excellent.
Yeah, year one was. I mean, just see what happens, right? Like, you never know.
Yep.
You're creating an opportunity, but you have absolutely no clue what's going to happen. You can't control that part of it. But
exactly.
But, I mean, I remember just being blown away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought, and I love anime and anime fans, so I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but I thought there might be 100 people there, you know? Like, seriously. Because, well, like, the first CoreCon was like
right,
that, too, right?
For a first-year convention,
mm-hmm. yep.
and especially one that's a bit more specialized. You know, when
yep.
you talk about
right.
a CoreCon, ValleyCon, they're pop culture conventions. They cover everything. Horror,
yep, yes.
sci-fi, anime, everything. But you have Anime Fargo, and there's a lot of other stuff at Anime Fargo
mm-hmm.
that's not necessarily anime-related, but it is specifically there for that purpose. You know,
right.
you've got, like, Anime Detour and a number of Icon and some other... conventions that are anime focused like that. But yeah, starting that up in the Fargo-Moorhead area and just, yeah, the numbers just blew everyone's expectations away. It was fantastic.
Well, yeah, anime's huge. I mean, and there are thousands of fairly hardcore fans in the first place, but then, I mean, it just has a huge reach in
oh, yeah.
popularity, but it's getting the word out there and getting that segment who's motivated enough to go to a con, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
So did you attend year one? I'm sorry.
I did, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Nope, yeah, so I was there year one. And, yes. Yep, so. Yeah, it was a fantastic time.
Cool.
I think I was probably like everybody else, blown away by the number of attendees that showed up. But I think for this section of the Midwest, it was kind of lacking, and it made mm-hmm. it really convenient for a lot of people that felt like nothing was close enough.
Right. Because, yeah, you know, the couple that I mentioned there, Detour is down in the cities, and Icon is up in Winnipeg.
Right.
There's another one, too. But, at the end of May in Minneapolis, there is a anime convention. It was actually, this year was Memorial Day weekend. It was the same weekend
oh, really?
As CoreCon was. And it's a 5,000-person-plus anime convention
sure.
that I didn't even know existed until.
But it's really cool because Fargo does seem to be just in the right spot mm-hmm. for a number of people who, one of them's too far that way, the other's too far that way, but we hit a sweet spot, and that's really cool.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's back up one second.
Yeah,
so
sure.
One of the things we always talk about with guests is where your passion comes from. You know, like were you an anime fan at a young age? Did you discover it later? Were you a nerd early in life? You know, like why anime Fargo? Like, what are the roots? You know,
sure. So. I think it would trace back probably to about the time, like, early 80s when Transformers first hit the air.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers and Robotech was something that I came across. I did not know those were anime at the time, but they were incredibly well done, you know, especially mm-hmm. considering how things turned out and the translation process. Robotech was one of those things that had a really limited broadcast market back in the 80s, so I only saw it on VHS tape.
Oh, sure.
And I only saw three episodes and kept wondering, where's more? And finally, 20 years later, I found the rest of it. and the best part of year one for Anime Fargo was having Paul St. Peter as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't aware before that he had voiced one of the characters in Robotech. So it magically tied things back together for me.
Nice. Who was that? Who did you voice in Robotech?
Zor.
Zor Prime.
Oh, that's one of the
Zentradi.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Robotech nut. and it's weird, because, like, I tell people I'm not a huge anime fan, but there are, like, anime I love. So it's
yeah.
just, mm-hmm. it's like, it's not true.
So. Anime is surprising. Just, you know, the same thing when you look at television and movies. There's so many different genres out there. People that don't know any better think that anime is just the genre.
Right.
But it has everything, just like the rest of the TV movies we watch.
Right. I mean, basically, you know, anime is kind of the Hollywood of of Japan. And
right,
and
it's sort of like, it would be sort of like in America saying, do you like movies?
Right.
Right.
You
know,
like, like, do you go to the cinema?
Yeah, and then just leaving it there, hanging or whatever. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so, and like, I'm going to ask you a dumb question. How old are you?
I just turned 40 this summer.
Okay, that makes so. Yeah, because like I'm weird with Transformers. I'm 48, and I didn't give a crap about Transformers. Like, and I don't know if I was
You're
just
wrong.
Like a couple years. Well, I know. I mean, I get that. But was I a couple years too old or what? Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought it was corny. I just didn't care. I don't know. So, I love the movie. Yeah. I mean, I'm not stupid or heartless. You know, come on. So.
You kind of have to be heartless if you love the movie and not anything else, because
That's
when Optimus Prime dies. That's.
The movie's like one of those movies that takes the trope that you think you're watching and turns it on its ear, and that's one of the early experiences in life, you know, for a lot of us, that, whoa, you can do that to a cartoon, you know, like that's a thing that can happen, you know?
The same with Robotech. Early on, one of the characters died, and it was a main character.
Yep.
You don't expect that in a kid's cartoon.
No. And I mean, Robotech was on Fox TV at 7:30 in the morning. And so I watched, I watched every episode, but here's the weird thing. I only lived a block from Fargo North High when it was on. It was like 1986, 1987, right? But I had to be at school at 8 a.m. So the episode started at 7:30. I had to leave at 7:55. I never knew how episodes ended, ever. Like, serious story. Like, I had no clue. So you
weren't a big enough fan to get a tardy every day?
No, I wasn't. And you had to get, I was addicted. I mean, you didn't want to miss. I'm like you. Like, the first time I ever saw it, I was at my grandma's place in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and for like a week. And I discovered it one morning. And I was like, what is this? You know, and then watched it the next day. And then that was it, you know, like nothing,
hooked.
Right? Yeah. And I was like, whoa. So, yeah. And it was the two episodes where the Zentradi surround the Earth. So late in Macross Saga, right?
But, right.
Mm-hmm. See, I can talk the talk. you know, and so I see all that, right? I mean, not see nothing else is yep. where I started. So, yeah, so. Anyway, so this is the new, now the Robotech podcast.
Yeah. It's a very gradual overtaking that's been happening for years. Just been waiting for this moment.
Yeah, but okay. So yes, I mean, I get that. I mean, that makes total sense to me. And so were you hooked after? I mean, did you go out and seek out anime after that, or manga, or I mean, did you?
It actually took after that point with Robotech and Transformers about till I got to college before I really got back into it. I had still seen things, but it's the same thing. I just didn't realize it was anime. I saw a cartoon I was interested in.
Yep.
But once I got to college, I had some friends that introduced me to Ninja Scroll and Akira, and wow.
Yeah.
Wow for both of those.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. From there it was down the rabbit hole. I have tried pretty much everything since then.
And have you done anything before the con to lead or organize things? Is that in your background? Like, what do you?
Nope.
I don't know what you do for a living. So.
Yeah, well, I do tech support for a living, so totally unrelated.
I don't know. Dealing with a bunch of morons on a daily basis—that's sounds about
you
right.
Just call the rest of the staff morons.
No,
all the attendees.
No,
Josh
of course
Trumbo.
Not
at like,
not
all attendees
this
of anime
convention.
Fargo are morons.
I'm talking about other conventions.
Oh.
Yeah, our convention's top.
I know.
That's right, it is.
Can I write the intro for this?
Oh, please. Yeah. I think it's the first time you've asked if you could do it.
Yeah.
Usually.
10:30 on Sunday night. Yeah, yeah.
So are you going to give me a, I guess so. Yeah. Tap, tap, tap. Here you go.
To answer the question, I hadn't really been involved in anything convention-related before Anime Fargo. I'd gone to a few conventions before. I went to Sojin Con when it first started in, I think it was Morris, Minnesota, before they moved and changed dates. I attended NebraskaCon 1 year. I had a friend that I met online, and he was going. He invited me down to finally meet in person, get together, hang out with stuff we enjoyed. And when the convention started here, it just kind of seemed natural. It's, you know, a couple miles across town. Why not go and see what it's like?
Yep.
Yeah.
How, okay, so what was running panels? Well, let's connect the dots a little bit more. So,
sure.
what and where is Anime Fargo?
This year it'll be at the Ramada, which is formerly the Baymont, formerly the Doublewood.
You know where you
formerly
usually
the
go
Ramada,
for conventions? Just go there. That's
pretty
whatever
much.
It's called.
Just about, yeah.
And it's the weekend of, I want to say September 21st, I think is the date.
That's
it's
correct.
The second to last
second
weekend
third.
In
yep.
September, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so and it starts like Friday morning right away, or
I will start roughly around 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't finalized scheduling yet, but around that 12 to 2 time frame, things should be opening up as far as vendor room, artist alley, panels should be starting. Opening ceremonies will be later in the afternoon.
Cool. So if I've never been to anything like this before, not even an anime thing, but just to a convention, you know, what is it? You know, what is a convention?
Convention like this, at least, is a place for fans of typically the genre it's targeting to gather, discuss, hear from some of the people in the industry, hear from other fans about their interests and related interests. You know, there's some unrelated things, like some of the board games, card games aren't necessarily based on or related to anime, but it still ties in. A lot of people that watch anime also like to play board games, card games, video games, what have you.
Yep, and then and what happens? Like, what I show up, I buy a badge, how much is a badge? What is this thing going to cost me?
Good question.
Chris McEwen knew that. That's,
Chris McEwen knew that.
And then he didn't make it. So
it's on the website. We'll pull this up here.
Well, yeah.
Here, I can grab that while you answer the question.
$45 for adults for the weekend. That's for the AtCon. Pre-registration is closed already. But once you get there, you'll walk in, we'll say the east side of the hotel, where the convention center's at. You pick up your badge near operations. The vendor's room is going to be nearby, main programming's nearby, and some of the other panels will be past the pool area. Once it starts, you're going to see tons of people in the hallways. Some of them might be dressed up as their favorite anime character. Some might be dressed up as some other superhero in general. You might even see a few furries around the convention. If you don't know what a furry is, they might dress up like a fox or a rabbit, but it's not just putting on the ears. It's full-blown costume. They look like a two-legged walking animal. And some of them have been very intricate and very amazing.
Yes, and some of them stay in character like
the entire weekend. Yes.
You will not see them not acting like their animal persona.
Exactly. Panels-wise, you're going to get pretty much anything and everything that I think of as related. Like I said, you'll hear from some of the industry people how they got into the industry, what mm-hmm. they enjoy. You might hear something that's not related to the industry.
Well, yeah, one thing that I don't want to interrupt too much with it, but like one thing I find interesting about Anime Fargo versus a lot of our other cons, I mean, you're bringing in working professionals today, mm-hmm. you know, we're like currently in the business, right? And giving, I mean, there's voice acting panels usually and all this sort of stuff. And that's a really different, more immersive experience than we get in a lot of other cons, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I think that's maybe part of the big draw of an anime convention, at least for the anime fans. Mm-hmm. You know, they seem to enjoy and appreciate the people that put in the work they do to make the shows, you know, in a language we can understand, first of all.
Right.
But they do their characters so well to hear how they get into the industry, to be, you know, what it's like in the industry, what they have to go through on a daily basis, mm-hmm. how they find their next gig, what they do in between. You have no idea what some of these people do. You would never think about it. You just think that, you know, for example, Paul St. Peter, guy throws out voices left and right. Well, Paul's involved in a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so interesting to hear the voice actors talk about their craft, because again, it's something that a lot of people I think don't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
Where you watch your favorite show, your anime, your animated show, and there's voices there, but these people actually are trained professionals. They have to train their voices, especially, you know, if you're the guy doing Goku.
Right.
And you have to scream for 30 minutes straight. And just the care that they have to take with their voice and how they craft the characters. Paul St. Peter knows, like, a ton of very specific dialects and just again these things you wouldn't think. It's like, oh, okay, you want to be this character. It's like, okay, but what region is he from? And it's so cool to hear, you know, get into it and how deep that goes, and you just like, wow. I mean, you know,
who would have thought there was that much effort involved?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one of the great things is when you see it on the screen, you don't realize it. And that's one of the hallmarks of really good voice acting, I think, is when it blends so well that you don't really think about the effort that was put into it, but then here you get to see that and learn a bit more about it. And that's been one of my favorite things about going to the convention and meeting these people and watching their panels and such.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all about budget. Like, we can't bring in, you know, we can't bring in an actor from, Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Right.
Like, you can't afford to do that, but. And anime, again, is hugely popular, but it's not the same as that, right? So if your con is about pop culture on a different level, you're not really able to get those guests. So it's just it's a good situation. So and on the cosplay level, I know CoreCon at least once has had like nationally known cosplayers come as well. And I don't know if that's going on this weekend, but that's also really cool. It's another thing you can afford to do, you know, and so that's sweet. So.
Yeah, with cosplay especially, The cosplay guests that we've had, it's interesting to hear their take and get tips from them, because they'll give you tips on how do you do cosplay on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spend $500 or $1,000 to make this elaborate costume. You know, maybe you can get away with it for $50 or $100, especially if you're thrifty and do a lot of the work yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have those different... I mean, and that's the centerpiece of the cons is so often the costume contest. I assume that's going on as well. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. And you know, along the lines of cosplay, I mean, we have Bright Chibi and Snow Cosplay coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not terribly familiar with cosplay in general, not to the level some other folks are, but I'm very interested to see what they bring to the convention, mm-hmm. what tips and tricks they have to share, what experiences they have to share. I think that's the biggest appeal, at least for me still, to go to a convention, is seeing a guest that more often than not isn't there and get a new perspective on what that part of the industry is like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat, but I know we got all these people, Brittany Berthume and Emily Byerly and so on and so forth, who are, you know, leaders. And I mean, and we've got a North Dakota Facebook group for cosplay. We've got, you know, compared to where it was 10 years ago, it's just completely different today. So, yeah. I mean, even the Star Wars, the 501st, they're not cosplay in the anime sense, but, you know, they're cosplay.
They are cosplay.
Yeah, exactly. So there's just, it's a huge deal. So, yeah, and definitely. I like, for me, you know, one of the things that I'm not typically a customer, you know, but I think what's awesome about it is I've been a believer for a long time that nerd culture has become such at the forefront of our culture, because for at least 20 years we've really been about identity, you know, as a culture. And what is nerd culture? That's what it's about. I mean, in the 1970s there are people showing up at Star Wars and Star Trek conventions to act like idiots, you know, at a time when, you know, that like you could barely bring out your comic book if you were in school without being humiliated, you know. So we've always been people who are just like, we don't give a crap. We know it's okay to be us, you know, and we don't care if you like it. You're not going to tell us we can't do that. But it's reaching the person who's too shy to come. And I think that's why these cons are great. Like these cons are like, get, you know, let's find that. If we find one person who before the con didn't think their people were out there, didn't think that it was okay to be them, and we can get them to that con, then that's what we've accomplished. You know, we've done good, and that's
agreed.
What we want to do. So.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and you can see that. You walk into the convention, you see the people meeting up in the hallways there even, and just it's a big family reunion.
Yeah,
you know?
Every year.
Those are your people, and you go back and you see them. It's the guests are great.
Oh yeah,
You know, no question about that. But I think, you know, a good chunk of the people who go to the convention would go regardless of who the guests are, because they're there to see their friends and you know, their family in a sense.
Right.
Yep. And it sounds like, I mean, you had that same experience. You found your place. Or
yeah, I feel like I did.
yeah. So. Okay, so cosplay panels. What other kind of panels? We talked a lot about voice acting. What else is on the agenda?
There are, I'll classify them as kind of game show type panels. And those are going to be kind of a mix of different topics. You might have something about anime in general, might be specific anime. It might just be a generic kind of a game show panel. Oftentimes the people running panels will bring in little treats or prizes for the people that participate on top of it. So, and me specifically, I'm not terribly outgoing. So, you know, if I go to a Kamikaze Snowman panel, Josh will probably try and sucker me into doing something. And
it's happening.
Trying to hide in back. No, leave me alone, please. but yeah, they'll usually dangle a little carrot in front of you to get you to participate more.
And it should be mentioned, you know, just in case there are people listening who aren't familiar, again, with the convention scene, there are guest panels. So we'll talk about the guests in a little bit here, because we've been mentioning guests over and over.
Yeah, that's true.
But they'll have their own panels. And, you know, there are certain people who are part of the convention that do it. But a lot of the panels are just run by attendees.
Yes.
They will sign up. They say, I want to do this panel. And it gets approved or denied. I'm not sure if you've ever had to deny a panel.
I'm not sure if we have.
I'm sure there will be someday someone's going to.
Usually it's, no, we need a panel at 3 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you got it.
Please, yes. Just try to tone down the blood.
Two friends can have a great time doing it. But, you know.
But yeah, so there are people, you know, who are out there showing their passions with their costuming and everything else, and there are people who come in and give their all and do these presentations. There was one last year that I missed, and I'm so sad I did, but it was a panel about Splatoon, the video game Splatoon, and it was a chance to meet up with other people who played, and I love that game, so I'm horribly addicted. It's like the only video game I play anymore, and I missed it. I wasn't able to make it to that one. But you'll find stuff like that where it's like, here's a chance to meet other people who are interested in what you're interested in. And, you know, here's this game show, a chance to come in and play a game with someone and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So,
yeah, we've got a couple others. I don't know if you would qualify them as more specialized exactly, but there'll be a swordsmanship panel again this year.
Mm.
And from what I've seen on the schedule, it looks like they'll be in main programming, so they should be able to do a full demonstration as opposed to being restricted by ceiling height.
Oh.
I think that'll be interesting. there's one other more specialized one that I can't think of at the moment.
But that the schedule usually goes up on the website
right
at some point before the convention. So right now we're a month out.
Yes.
When we're recording this, we'll probably post this closer to the time.
I looked. It looks. I mean, it's filling in.
It is. Yeah. Oh, okay. Bringing more detail up there. I'd say within the next couple of weeks, everything should be finalized and posted.
So let's talk specifically about the guests. Who are by name? Who are our guests this year? Who are your guests? Not
the Royal R.
Rich
is coming in and claiming ownership.
Yep. You bet. So that's how you do it. Yeah. 25 years, baby.
It works.
25 years of stealing ideas, not stopping now on this podcast.
I'll take this in the order that we posted just for convenience. One of our first guests is Tiffany Grant. She's a voice actress. I actually had the pleasure of meeting her at SojinCon 10 plus years ago, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be nice. I'm not expecting her to remember me, but I'm excited to be able to see her again and see maybe what's changed in that time.
Mm-hmm. And what some of her notable voices and things like that?
Notable, for me personally, Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at her list here because she's got quite the
She has
repertoire
like thousands,
built,
right? It's like ridiculous the amount of shows and things that TV and movies that she's done.
I'm seeing Ajumanga Dao, Blue Seed, Infinite Stratos, Full Metal Panic, Fumofu. Highly recommended, by the way. Mm. It's a spin-off series that's more humorous than the main series.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. She was in Full Metal Alchemist, Little Busters, One Piece, Girls in Panzer. Mm. Trying to pick out some things that people might be more familiar with.
Right. And the whole list, he's actually reading it off of the website, so
yes.
AnimeFargo.org. So if you want to see
I
the rest
admit
of
I'm
it.
Cheating.
But oh no, that's that's why it's there in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's
definitely check out the website if you're interested to see what else she's done. There's quite a bit. I suspect IMDb's got nearly the full list if not the full list.
Right.
So after Tiffany, we've got Paul St. Peter returning.
Excellent.
I don't know if anybody's heard this term before, but Paul's kind of become our con uncle.
Yeah.
I know we talked a little bit about Paul before. He voiced in Robotech, among other things. He's done voices in Digimon, Naruto, voiced in One Punch Man. That's more recent and more popular, I think. Probably one of the biggest things that people know him in is from Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. Xemnas.
I won't say what the anagram is.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
Yeah.
We can't, even though we chanted incessantly at the...
Oh, yes. At the family-friendly convention.
The family-friendly convention.
Let's see. He voiced in Resident Evil 5. Voiced in Cowboy Bebop, if anybody's seen that. Punch.
Buckaroos.
Let's see. I don't see anything else that stands out to me as terribly well-known. But... There's so much out there. I can't keep up anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, and Paul St. Peter is one of the coolest, most fun guests I've ever seen at a convention.
Yeah,
which
very
is
down to earth.
Not bagging on anyone else who's been a guest. He's just, like you said, down to earth. He's constantly walking around the convention. He's out there hanging out with people, talking, telling stories. You know, you'll see him going to all of the different fan suites, you know, in the night and stuff. So he's just been a fantastic guy, and I love that he's been there since the beginning. You know,
yeah,
he's a legacy guest.
Let's see. Next up, we have Morgan Berry, who, as I recall, reached out to us a year or two ago already.
Hmm.
And I don't know the ins and outs of how guests are chosen, but it was basically on the list, and this year we managed to work things out so we could bring her in, which I think is very cool. I'm not aware of specifically who else has reached out to us directly.
I thought
that was really cool. I didn't realize that, you know, voice actors would reach out to our convention. Hey, we want to be there.
Yeah.
You want to come to Fargo, North Dakota?
Wait, Anime Fargo is actually in Fargo?
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. I mean, you know, in comics, I mean, we constantly get emails from comic creators saying, like, hey, mm-hmm. our new book is coming out. Check it out. I mean, that's how we've booked some of the guests we've had and stuff like this. I tend to reply to their emails and say, sure, come on my podcast, you know.
Cool.
Now they don't email me anymore.
What's Morgan done?
What I'm seeing here, Love Live Sunshine, I recognize that as something popular I haven't watched yet, but I think it's cool that I can see she's in that. My Hero Academia, I know that's very popular.
That's a big one now. Yep.
Looks like she voiced in One Piece as well, so maybe they will get a double up panel kind of going on again. Yeah. And we've had that before with previous guests.
Yep.
Hyperdimension Neptunia, mm-hmm. Overlord, Show by Rock, I'm sorry. Should probably hold this closer. and The Boy and the Beast. I haven't had the pleasure of watching that movie yet. I hear it's really good.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. But
yeah. Let's see. After that, I don't know if I want to mention this next guest.
Oh, yeah, these guys.
Yeah. Now we have the Kamikaze Snowman coming back.
Speaking of things going on at the convention that have nothing to do with anime, the Kamikaze Snowman will be there.
Maybe not anime related, but always entertaining.
Yeah, we try. we've had a blast at Anime Fargo, and we love that you guys keep having us back. So
I'm glad you guys keep coming back. It's nice to have another kind of legacy guest return.
Yeah. We've got some fun stuff planned for this year too.
Good.
Some good stuff. Well, we were talking about game shows earlier. We are going to be doing our own game show. Paul's Kick Butt Anime Super Spectacular Spectacular The Game Show.
I thought that was the convention.
That was the... You've attended it as the convention, now play it as the game show. That's how it's going to work. So it's going to be our take on Japanese-style game shows.
That
should be a fun one. And then we're doing our usual How to Write a Song and Other Songs with the Kamikaze Snowman,
cool.
which is a nice little... panel where we just discuss our songwriting style and how we do what we do, and you know, if anyone in the audience wants to talk about just songwriting in general, and you know, anybody's welcome to come, but it's kind of about that and the process and just, you know, chatting about that.
Cool.
And then we'll also be playing Red Dragon Inn with a couple of other special guests that are going to wait to reveal who will be playing with us, but that will be one of the late night panels. So it's the Red Dragon Inn. It's a card game. It's a very fun game, and it's very not a big leap, but we're going to be turning it into a drinking game, and we'll be playing that in front of the audience for amusement. So,
cool.
So that and just. General shenanigans. We're usually up running around and making Chris do embarrassing things, and
yeah,
you know,
generally, yeah. all right, so coming up after Kamikaze Snowman, I've got Bright Chibi and Snow Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned before, I'm not terribly big into the cosplay scene, so I'm sorry to say I don't know very much about them. I would encourage you, if you're interested or even thinking about being interested in cosplay, check out the website. We have a nice little bio about them, different things they've done. And as I said at the convention, they'll have kind of their take on the cosplay scene as far as maybe some tips and tricks or mm-hmm. How to cosplay on a budget, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure specifically that those are their panels, just I'm sure you can talk to them about that sort of
right.
cosplay detail. And that would be
excellent.
The last of the guests we have to announce.
There is actually one more that's not on the list.
Is there?
Dazzle Ann is
right. I am so sorry.
No, that's all right. That's one of those things, because you guys reveal the guests One at a time, kind of draw it out and build up the suspense and everything. And I think that just hasn't been updated on the website yet. But
probably not. I feel bad, though, because Dazlan was there the first year,
yep.
And I very much enjoy her rave.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad that I am the one that forget about this.
You're kind of putting together a convention that's going to be happening in a month. You probably have a few things on your mind.
Perhaps.
We'll let it slide. I'll blame Rich.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, wait. How about another thing about conventions, fan suites.
Fan suites?
Yeah.
Party rooms.
Party rooms, fan suites, yep. So
we, what I was told, we have a record number of applications this year. We're going to have party rooms in the pool area at the Ramada. I've been told that the first floor is full, and we have three or four that will be up on the second floor as well.
Excellent.
And our sister convention, graciously, is putting on one of those up on second floor. They have mm-hmm. a suite. I don't know what the details are, but I'm curious to see. I think they've done a good job every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see what they come up with.
Well, it usually has something to do with the theme for the next year, and so they're good doing point. Cyberpunk. Next year, yeah. So expect something cyberpunkish. I may or may not be in on some of the details, and I will may or may not reveal any of them tonight. But it's going to be good. They've got a lot of fun stuff planned. So,
cool.
But yeah, and I hear the Ramada now has a water slide.
Two water slides. Yes.
That you access from that second floor balcony. So
yes, this will present an interesting kind of a challenge.
Yes,
the way that they're placed up there, one of them leaves a little more access to the room nearby, as opposed to, I think, unfortunately, where Corcon is. It's a little tighter to go through.
Right.
So don't expect to get to the Corcon party room through the pool area.
No, that's how you get out of the room. You just go and hop the water slide and
don't
ride
worry about
on
your
down.
Swim trunks. Just yeah. dive and you can
just
run.
Just dive in. Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I should mention Fargo Game Fest. As far as I know, we'll also have a party room there.
Excellent.
So that's our other sister convention. If you're going to be at Archon, stop by, check them both out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you should be.
Okay, so we've covered fan suites. How about family programming? I want to bring kids, so I don't want to go to those party suites at night.
Sure.
What kind of father are you?
Let's not get into that, Josh. No, family programming. The convention overall is very family friendly. We try to keep everything, as kid friendly as possible. If there might be something you don't necessarily want to expose the kids to, we'll put a little tag in that it's recommended for 13+, outside of the couple 18+ things, like Josh's panel.
Yeah. It's okay. Those are late night.
Yes.
The kids should be in bed anyway.
No, like I said, everything is pretty much family friendly. I mean, if your kids are actually up that late, they can certainly go to the rave. It's mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. The board game, card game, video game area, mm-hmm. all of that obviously kid-friendly. The people running both of those rooms bring in an incredible amount of options. I pretty well guarantee you'll find something you can enjoy if the kids aren't interested in any of the panels going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably, I don't know, if I was a 10-year-old kid or even a 5-year-old kid still, I think I'd be interested in that swordsmanship panel.
Yeah.
Nothing like watching people pull out long, sharp objects and swing them around,
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't have specifics of all those panels, but mm-hmm. everything, for the most part, up until, let's say, 8, 9 o'clock, you're pretty well guaranteed is kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it'll start kind of winding down where kids should be going to bed and mom and dad can go have a little more fun.
Yep.
Or they'll be caught and auctioned.
Well, we do have a charity auction.
Dark. Convention.
Dark real quick.
Yeah.
So Anime Fargo doesn't necessarily have a kids room like Corcon would. Or do
We're
you guys
actually
have...
intending to do that this year.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. We have some of the staff and other people involved graciously have volunteered to help make that happen this year. I don't know what exactly they're going to have available. I'm expecting maybe some colors, mm-hmm. Colors, papers, markers, whatever. I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do, too, because it's been something that's requested for the last 2 or maybe 3 years now. So mm-hmm. finding people that are willing to do that is a big help.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one thing that's kind of interesting about Anime Fargo versus, you know, say, CorCon. We're mentioning them a lot because they're our sister conventions. But with Anime Fargo, you get these voice actors like Paul St. Peter, who does one of the voices in Digimon. Yep. You know, like, kids are familiar with some of the guests, actually.
Yes.
Not to say that they wouldn't be at, you know, the other conventions, but sometimes it's not as great of an interest to them, whereas there's a bit more just natural crossover between the guests of the convention and what kids are into.
Right.
So it's not a kids convention, but it seems like it has a younger feel to it.
Definitely. more childlike feel.
Right. But that's really cool that you guys have got people to work a kid's room and yep. do that, because, you know, everything that goes into these conventions is a lot of work. And it's probably worth noting now, again, for those of you who aren't familiar with the convention scene, that the people who run this are volunteers. This is they aren't getting paid to go in and run this and, nope. You know, create these rooms and entertainment and things like that. So that's awesome.
Okay, we've covered most of what happens there. We're running a little, you know, we got about 5 minutes left or so in this podcast.
Okay.
Here's the big question, right? Sell me. Like, why am I going to your convention? And I should, don't get me wrong. but this is your big pitch, you know, your moment of, you know, I've never been there before, but I like anime and so on and so forth. Like, what?
Well, we already mentioned the Kamikaze Snowmen are going to be there, so
true.
I don't know
what
else you need to say.
In your words, what puts me there? You know, why do I go?
Let's see.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Put you on the spot.
Oh, boy. why to come to Anime Fargo? We are... Obviously, we're Fargo's only anime convention.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're one of the few this far west in the Midwest. Very easy mm-hmm. to get to. We're very open, friendly, accepting of everyone. Feel free to stop by. Everything we put on, we do for the fans. If you're, you know, interested at all in anime and just haven't been interested in, or maybe you're nervous about going to a convention, you know, some of these 5,000 or 10,000 plus mm-hmm. attendee conventions, we're still pretty small. Stop by and check it out. We're more of a family-friendly atmosphere in that regard. You should have more easy access to the guests to talk to them, get to know them,
mm-hmm.
why they got into the industry. It's not just you sitting in a room while they talk at you. They talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
That.
And you're like a 10-minute drive away from the world famous Paradox Comics and Cards.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of sponsoring at CorCon. I've never done that with Anime Fargo. Like, it's just not our specialty. I mean, you know, Comic Junction and stuff like that, you know, it's yep. more their specialty. So it just feels, but I mean, I want to be supportive and hope the thing rocks and rolls. So,
I think we will again this year. It's been a nice upward trend. I hope it continues. I want to do this for a lot more years to come.
But your organizations have just got, a really good reputation for running events, you know.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good things about Anime Fargo. You know, year one, it was getting put together. We're good, you know, friends with the people at CorCon, so mm-hmm. we offered to come in and do our hosting thing and stuff, and they're like, okay, yeah, come on in. And I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I watched anime back in the day, and I've, I still watch some with my kids now, more than anything. but just, you know, the atmosphere, like, again, like I said, it has a little younger feel to it than like a CorCon does. But that I didn't feel like a creepy old man there, if that helps anybody who's deciding whether or not they should go. You know, I'm almost 40 myself, and, you know, I'm right at home there.
Yep.
You know, there isn't an age barrier. There isn't any barrier.
No.
You know, there isn't even an anime barrier. If you have not seen a single anime, who cares? You can go,
you can watch anime there.
You can watch anime there. Yeah, you guys have
two screening rooms.
Two screening rooms. So there will be all sorts of anime going on. I'm sure you can get lots of good recommendations from people there. And, No, it's just been a blast. Every year has just been super fun, and I look forward to it every year.
That's good.
All right, if I need information, where do I go? Give me the Facebook, the website, the Twitter, the tweets, the whole bit.
I think we're pretty much everywhere on the web. We have our own website, of course, animefargo.org, just all one word. We're on Facebook. We're just tagged as Anime Fargo. I would actually have to find the details for Twitter and Instagram and everything else, but I'm pretty darn confident it's all just Anime Fargo. I think we're very easy to find. If you literally just search the words Anime and Fargo, you'll come across us. You should see an AF logo.
If nothing else, you can go to the website, and there are links to all the other ones as well. So,
very good point.
Yeah. And, of course, you can find Anime Fargo at the Ramada, September 21st through the 23rd.
Nice. Well done. So there you go. If you have never done a con before, regardless of your particular fandom, it's still going to be a great place to start. It doesn't matter. You're going to find your people there, and that's what it's all about, like we were saying earlier. So well, remember, the DocsCast is available every Monday morning on iTunes or through our website, and we try to record once a month in a block of episodes live on Twitch. So I hope some people were watching and had some fun tonight, and I hope you guys enjoy listening to this in the future. So,
yeah.
Josh, sign us out.
All right. So, yeah, ParadoxCNC.com, twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC, @ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram, and, of course, the Facebook page is Paradox Comics and Cards. Check us out. Give us some feedback. What do you think? What do you like most about Anime Fargo? What's your favorite anime? Go on. Sign on. Let us know. And, of course, we will see you at Anime Fargo, but we'll also see you on the next DocsCast.
This was a DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.